I have got some things on my mind. I wrote down a bunch of the citations here, scriptures. I want to ask you a series of questions today. So I want you to think with me for a little while. What is eternity? When did it start? Did it start at creation? Did it start at regeneration? Does it start at resurrection? When does eternity start? Eternal life. Was it before he made the world? The world? Do we have to wait for it? There are some things that are eternal spoken of in the scriptures. The sense of the word eternal in the scriptures means that it's something that has always been and something that will always be. Is life eternal? I think that probably has to be qualified a little bit, but the Bible speaks of eternal life. There are many things that are eternal. God is eternal. The Spirit is eternal. The Godhead and power are eternal. The Godhead meaning divinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, that's eternal. Life is eternal. God, the eternal things, Bible says, they cannot see. And you don't have to turn over there. I'm just going to read it. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are not are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So the natural eye cannot behold necessarily things that are eternal. In one sense, I think they're eternal things are intangible now. I mean, you can't touch them. That they're not things. This wood is not eternal. This air is that I feel is not eternal. My hair is not eternal. It falls out. These clothes that I wear are not eternal. God had purpose. God had a purpose, and His purpose is eternal. Ephesians 3:11 says, "According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." So God's purpose is eternal. God is eternal. He says that we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I can't see that house now. We've got an eternal house. That means that it's always been and it will always be. The Bible talks about salvation being eternal. Hebrews 5 and 9 says, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." That's a deep one. Judgment is spoken of as being eternal. That means it ain't going to change. Hebrews 6 and 2 says, "Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on the hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment." The Spirit is called eternal. Hebrews 9:14 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" There's an inheritance spoken of as being eternal. Hebrews 9:15 says, "And for this cause he is a mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." That inheritance has always been, and it will always be. Redemption is spoken of as being eternal. Jesus Christ having obtained eternal redemption for us. There's also some other stuff that's eternal, and it's things that are not good, so to speak. Mark 3 and 29 says, "But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." Don't want to talk about that much, do we? Jude 1 and 7 says, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." So there's an eternal fire. Yeah, I really want y'all to understand that eternal things have always been and will always be. Now, before the foundation of the world, I ain't got all this exactly worked out on the eternal fire. I think he's got in reference to something that's going to be cast into the lake of fire. That God prepared that for the devil and his angels. I don't know that he prepared that before Satan fell. I don't know when he prepared it, but I know that he did. If eternal things have always been and always will be, when did they start? Now, I want you to, because I try to be anyway, an investigator of God's Word. An investigator asks a lot of questions. And I think we need to question what we believe about things, because if what we believe is the truth, it'll stand forever. If what we believe about something is not the truth, we don't need it anyway, do we? So if my religion and what I believe about something won't stand up to the truth of scriptures, I don't care how long somebody's been thinking about it. I don't care how traditional the thought is. I'm scaring you now. I don't care what a person may say about it. If my beliefs about something won't stand up to the scrutiny of scriptures, then I need to stop believing it. Amen?
Amen.
It's the same situation that the Pharisees and scribes had when Jesus Christ came onto the scene, the light of the world. Right? What they had been taught, if you had been taught that the sky is purple, I mean, what's the color that the sky don't ever get? During the daytime, let's say that you say the sky is black. Well, it got black once in the middle of the day. And you came up all your life and you heard that the sky was black, and then somebody said the sky's blue, and you said, no it ain't. You're crazy. The sky's not blue, the sky's black. What's reality? Reality is not what you think about something. Reality is the way it really is. Based on what? Because I could have a perception, a wrong one, and you could have a wrong perception, but what's truth? Truth is what God says it is.
That's right.
Not what I think, what you think, or anybody else. It is true that we as primitive Baptists have traditionally put into or put eternal things into one box and timely things into another box. Right? I've done it. You've done it. We've all thought about it. But I want to set something forth for your consideration today. I want us to think about, since eternal thing, I mean, we've traditionally talked about eternal things starting at the resurrection, haven't we? I mean, when we just talk, I mean, you think about it. We talk about, oh, we're going to see our eternal home and we're going to enjoy eternal things. When we say that and put it into that context and that context only, we're limiting God. We're saying there is no eternal things right now. And that's not the sense of the word eternal. If eternal has always been and always will be, it's happening right now. There's a lot of things to think about when you think about stuff like this. And it is true that all of God's people, elect people, will be resurrected to eternal life and be taken to our eternal house, not made with hands, to enjoy the full eternal inheritance by the eternal power of the Son of God, obtaining eternal redemption for us, according to the eternal purpose of the eternal God, having been born again by the eternal Spirit. I wrote that down. It sounded real good when I wrote it down. I came up with it, by the way. It wasn't anybody else's. Y'all see how that is true. There is no way to get around that God had an elect people from before the foundation of the world. I think we can call that eternal. Don't you? I think that God's purpose was eternal. He always had it, and it's always been His purpose. He hasn't changed His purpose. It's His purpose to save His people then, and it's always going to be His purpose, and it will come to a finality when the kingdom is delivered up. Jesus Christ, according to the eternal purpose, came and bled and died and offered Himself to God, and God received that. And because of that, we'll be in our eternal home forever, according to God's eternal purpose. There is no way to get around that. It is true. Not because I think it, not because you think it. And it's not false because somebody else don't believe it. It's true because God's Word said it. But we are in danger of limiting God's eternal things when we say that they'll start then and that they have no bearing now. If we have an eternal inheritance? Does God's people have an eternal inheritance? Yes, they do. God's Word says they do many times. What do we have now? What do we have now? We have an earnest of that inheritance right now. It's consistent. It's a representative sample of the whole. That we will, you know, enjoying the whole eternal inheritance, being able to enjoy the whole eternal inheritance as a sinless being is beyond my comprehension. When we are taken home to be with the Lord at the resurrection, I can't imagine what it's going to be like to enjoy all the eternal inheritance all at one time. And you're going to enjoy it just as much as I am. And you've got every bit of the same inheritance that God gave His Son Jesus Christ. It's not that it's split up between all of His, that they get a little portion, you get a little portion, I get a little portion. No, sir. Every one of His people have every bit of His eternal inheritance. And now, in this life, we have a small representative sample of that eternal inheritance that we enjoy today. And it's consistent in function, it's consistent in form, it's consistent in its essence with the whole. It's a piece of the rock. It's just a sample of the whole thing. And that's what we have now. No way to enjoy it unless you're born again. Actually, that's the very beginning point of the earnest of your inheritance. You cannot access that unless you're a child. There's a lot of children of God that ain't born yet, that ain't born again yet. They don't have access to it, do they? We can enjoy it now. And it is something that we lay hold of. It's something that we apprehend, right? It's what Paul was chasing, wasn't he? In Philippians 3, if that I may also apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. It's what Paul was running after and seeking to lay hold of, to apprehend it. You know, that's what police do with criminals. They apprehend them. That means they can't get away. They lay hold of them, put them in handcuffs, and take them into custody. Friends, that's what the Apostle Paul wanted to do with God. He wanted to take him into custody, into his possession. Turn to John 17. I'm going to help us understand a little bit more. I pray that the Spirit would help us understand a little bit more about this eternal life. Jesus defines eternal life. It's the question that so many people, even the Jews, ask Christ. What must I do that I may inherit eternal life or obtain eternal life? It's the question on everybody's mind. John 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, now this is Jesus' prayer, one of them, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That they might know him. Now I understand that there was a time when people in the scripture, Jesus said, God said, that they asked and told each one of us, said, know the Lord. Know the Lord. But God said there's coming a time when that's not going to be anymore. That every man is not going to tell his neighbor, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. How much you going to know? How much do you know? Do you know more than other people? Do you know less? What do you know about God? Well, I preached a sermon not long ago about what do babies know? Do they have knowledge? Yeah. They have some knowledge. Does your level of knowledge determine your life, your eternal life? So I got more questions than I got answers. I know the answer to that question. I know the answer to several of these questions. Thank you. if my level of knowledge determines how much, or determines whether I'm a child of God or not, I'm in trouble because I don't know a whole lot. I know some stuff, but I don't know a whole lot. Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they might know me. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We better be real careful of putting people into boxes. We better be real careful about looking at actions to make determinations of eternal destiny. If you look at the Apostle Paul, Saul, that became the Apostle Paul, if you looked at him and the things he'd done, what box would you put him in? Would he be considered wicked before his conversion? Certainly. Was he a child of God? Certainly. Was he acting consistent with godly ways? Certainly not. David, that was a man that I believe was regenerated on the road to Damascus. What about King David? Was King David born again? Yeah, he was. Did he make a mistake? Could he be said to... he did some heinous stuff. Was he a child of God? Yeah, he was. What did he lose? He lost the joy of his salvation, didn't he? Would he be considered... Saul murdered people. Would he be considered wicked? Yes, he would. David orchestrated the murder of somebody to cover up a sin that he had done earlier with his wife, and she got pregnant. What's the difference? What's the difference? There's not a difference. Was he acting consistent with being wicked? Yeah, he was. This eternal life is a litmus test as to how much you're accessing the earnest of your inheritance. Jesus didn't put out that eternal life there as an offer for you to as a pleading way to for you to hear. Here it is. You can go to heaven if you follow this way. That's not what Jesus Christ did. You know, he came and He offered himself on the cross, obtained eternal redemption for us. He doesn't offer it to everybody. He gives unto us eternal life. And yet he says, this is life eternal, that they might know me. John, 1 John, chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You believe that? I do. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. That means you love your brethren. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. I don't know that I'm making myself real clear this morning. I think we get the following God and believing in Jesus Christ mixed up with the idea of following God. We like the idea of following God, don't we? But we don't do it all the time. You know, I know a lot of people that like the idea of losing weight and or whatever it is. They like the idea of going to church and being godly, but they just don't do it. You know? But they like the idea of it. What does that mean? Does that mean they're a child of God or not? Jesus Christ doesn't make that distinction. He just says, if you ain't following my way, you're not. You're not doing it. It's the broad way and the narrow way as distinguished from one another. John is very plain in his writing. And Jesus was very plain in his. There's no middle ground. You're either on God's side or you're on Satan's side. Not in terms necessarily of elect and non-elect. But now you ain't going to be on God's side if you're not elect. You understand that? I hope you do. I want to read some more. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What's that consistent with? Well, being born again of the Spirit, using it. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Overcomes what? Overcomes the world. Not the hereafter. You overcome the world. And you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the world is going to overtake you. And there's a lot of God's people in that situation today. Y'all know that? There's a lot of people that don't believe in Jesus Christ. But God don't put them in either box. He just said, when you don't believe, you ain't following me. You ain't going consistent with the kingdom way. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth, this is the witness. Now see, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. If John didn't write this, would they know that they had eternal life? He said that's the reason why I'm writing this book to you, that you might know that you have eternal life. Would they have it? How'd they get it? How'd they get that eternal life? They didn't get it because John wrote it. They got it because Jesus Christ paid for them. John said, I'm writing this that you might know that you have eternal life. What do we say all the time? What is the gospel? It brings life and immortality to light, right? John wrote this that we might know that we have eternal life. And this life is what? In his Son. He that believeth on Jesus Christ is going to see him, but has access to the kingdom now. Has access to the inheritance, the earnest of the inheritance now. These things have I written unto you that believe on his name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And he goes on. You know, and he keeps on going down, and after that, and he talks about if any man see his brother, I don't want to read all that. He said, in 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Do you sin? Are you born of God? You're born of God and you sin. John's talking about something pretty deep. I mean, ain't he? John's talking about the finality of all this. And yet, he's talking about accessing the eternal inheritance now. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. It's almost like, oh, by the way, keep yourself from idols. Amen. You see how John takes it and he says, I'm not going to ease your mind if you're following the wicked way. I'm telling you that if you believe on the Son, you have life. And if you don't believe on the Son, you don't have it. Or at least you're not walking consistently with that life. How could you have it if you didn't believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God? understand what I'm saying? Y'all understand that Jesus doesn't make that many distinctions in the Bible. He just says, here it is. I'm laying it out. He has the ability to know who it is that is his sheep or the elect. I don't think that was what the message was. The message was, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you're mine. If you don't, I can't give you any comfort. The broad way, the narrow way. Broad is the road that leads unto death, right? And many there be that go in thereat. Is he talking about heaven? No. He's talking about the world. He's talking about right now. Because if he's talking about heaven, there ain't going to be but a few people there. Because he said it was few there be that find that straight gate and walk therein in that path. Very few. Many are called, but few are chosen. He's talking about kingdom living. He's talking about, that's a gospel call. There are multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people out there that are born of the Spirit of God that don't know the name of Jesus Christ, but he says that they may know me, and that's life eternal. If they're going to enjoy any kind of earnest of the inheritance that they already have, they're going to have to believe on the name of Jesus Christ and follow him. Y'all agree with that? It's not a litmus test as to whether somebody's going to go to heaven or not. It's a litmus test. It's a joy. It's a litmus test of joy and kingdom living. But if you're not living that way, you're not going to get any comfort from Jesus, Paul, Peter, John. Certainly not John. And the Word's not going to give you any. I might give you a little bit more than that, but not a whole lot. But I thank God. There are glimmers of things in there that will help us to feel a little bit better. Binding up wounds that we got. There's a scripture in there that says that, yet if we believe not, or if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. What does that mean? Well, that's some good stuff. That means that if I'm not following him, or if I don't believe, God still is faithful. And he will have that elect child with him when Jesus Christ comes back to get him. He'll take him home just like he does, just like he will. The one that is a warrior in the kingdom of God that always has on the breastplate of the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and carries the sword of the Spirit with all faith. But yet this life for him is going to be torment. I pray to God that our lives are not torment now. I pray that our lives are rich in believing in Jesus Christ. And not only rich for you, but rich for the people that you're around. Rich for your circle of friends. Rich for the people that you work with. That you might spread the light of Christ. Yes, that you would not hide it under a bushel, but that you would spread that light that others may see that you have eternal life and that they might want it too. You understand? To access it, not to be able to be given it by you, or to be able to receive it from some, obtain it from somebody, but that they would access their own. If they want it, they already got it. You see, if you desire godly things, you already have eternal life, and you need to know Jesus Christ, and you need to follow Him. Let me say me. I need to follow Him. I need to know Him more. I need to dig in this Word more. Because there's more things in here than I realize. I'm going to confess to you, I thought I had it all figured out. The more you study, the dumber you'll get. The dumber you'll get. I'm pretty dumb. I think that's part of what that means, that if you think you know, you're blind. If you think you don't know, you're smart. If you say we see, then you have no sin. But you say, I mean, you have sin. If you say we see not, then you don't have it. It's the paradox of Christianity all over again, revisited. This is way bigger than I've even begun to realize. How that eternity doesn't start at the resurrection. Eternal life doesn't start at the resurrection. Eternal life has always been. Jesus just come that we might know it. We didn't just come for that, but that was one of the reasons why he came, that we might know it. And believe on His name. And follow after Him in righteousness. I pray that the Lord helps us to follow Him in righteousness every day. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Doors of our church are open for reception of members, that you may come and take up your cross and follow Jesus as commanded by not only Christ, but His apostles. And by His Word.